This is episode 8 of the Super Cool Stuff Show for August 18th, 2008. Welcome to the Super Cool Stuff Show. I'm your host, Terry Bartley. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about the concept of letterbox, you know, like the widescreen like you see in movie theaters, in TV shows. Because I know that me and a lot of other people buy a lot of our movies like that. Like when we go out and buy DVDs, we take the extra effort to buy the letterbox DVDs. Because you see a lot more than you would if it was the full screen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, basically what widescreen means is it's a wider screen, as is implied by the title. But it's just like in a movie theater, whenever it's bigger, but the top and bottom's a little bit smaller. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a scene in Ghostbusters that if you get the full screen version, you'll notice this. In the theaters, we're in the widescreen, you see all four of them walking towards the camera. However, in the full screen, you see three of them. And that's the kind of thing that's different about widescreen and full screen, and why a lot of movie geeks like myself prefer the widescreen. And I remember all the way back to Star Wars, whenever they'd show it on TV, it would always be in widescreen for some reason. Like, it was the only movie that I've never seen in full screen, and actually I'd rather not see it in full screen now. But I thought it was weird when I was a kid, because nothing else was like that. And whenever I would see it on other things, I would say, oh, this one's like Star Wars. But now it's kind of become commonplace. Like, for well-produced shows, it's almost always in widescreen. Shows like Psych on USA, and I'm pretty sure Heroes on NBC is widescreen, and I'm sure many other things like that is also shot in letterbox. But the thing is, like, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. And I think that's kind of cool that, I don't know if it's me or the culture that have gotten to this point, but we just don't even realize whenever it's shot differently, because shows aren't always shot consistently the same. They're almost always a little bit different. And now whenever they're shot in letterbox, it just seems like something normal. Because I was watching Psych the other day, and I had no clue that it's shot in letterbox, but apparently it always is. And I hit the description, and there it was. Sure enough, Psych is filmed in letterbox. But I like it a lot. And I think it's an interesting thing that I've not noticed until recently. But with that said, I've got a very great show planned today. I'll be talking about Pam Anderson's new reality show. I'll be recommending one of my favorite kids' TV shows. And, oh yeah, I'll be talking to John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants, the incredible band. TV. But you're going to have to wait for the John Flansburgh interview, because first, like I said, I'll be talking about Pam Anderson, Girl on the Go. That's Pam Anderson's new reality TV show. It's on E! Every Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And basically, we just follow her life as it plays out. It's very interesting because it's shot very differently from any other reality show I've ever seen, especially a celebrity reality show like this one. It's kind of shot like a Quentin Tarantino movie if he would make reality shows. It has a very cool, like, 70s kind of soundtrack, like what Quentin Tarantino would use. And it has, like, crazy shots and cuts and that kind of stuff, like what you'd see in Grindhouse or something like that. It's really cool, but it's one of those things that I'm not sure how an audience will respond to it, and I'm wondering if it'll get old relatively quick, because it's just so out there and so different. Something else that's very different about this show is that there's no real focus. Like, whenever you watch other reality shows, for example, Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List, there's always seems to be a theme per episode. You know, like, this episode's about us trying to get press coverage, or this episode's about us rebuilding a school in Mexico. But Pam Anderson's show doesn't have anything like that. It's essentially just a slice of her life. Like, there was one episode where she had to do a yard sale for PETA, but she was also going to see Elton John because apparently she's in his Las Vegas show, kind of. And it just seemed very random, and nothing seemed to be planned, or there wasn't any kind of plot for the episode, which I realize is reality TV, but I kind of like for there to be some sort of a focus so that you know where it's going. Although, that might be good, like, I kind of like it, because that's real life. Life doesn't have a focus. It kind of makes it feel like we're actually a part of her life. Like we're watching a real day in her life and not this reconstructed part of her life. So I like it a lot. And I'm not sure, like I said, if it's going to be able to keep my interest because it's so different and so out there. But I hope the best for it. I think it's very cool. And if E is up for submitting some of their stuff for Emmys, I feel like it has a shot at least being nominated for Best Reality Show Emmy, just because it's so different. And it does look really cool, and I feel like the people working on it have done a great job at making something different. And really, reality show has been so convoluted as of late, it's nice to see something new and something original. So I hope that, at the very least, other reality show creators will take note of Pam Anderson Girl on the Go. And I'm also curious to see what comes out of this. If you're a Pam Anderson fan, you'll like at least parts of this show, because she does her confessionals out of the bathtub. And you see her doing photo shoots. You see her going to like the Elton John show, like I said. You see her family occasionally. Tommy Lee is going to be on there. So it's kind of crazy, but it's kind of cool. And I think if you're a Pam Anderson fan, you should definitely watch it. And if you're like a film student, this is actually a good show for you too, because like I said, it's shot very interestingly. And I think you'll get a kick out of just watching the way they edited stuff together and the way they shot this scene or that scene. So that's that, Pam Anderson Girl on the Go. 10 o'clock Sundays on E!
Interviews.
Okay, so this is pretty exciting because, like I said, I have an interview with John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants. They Might Be Giants is a super cool band that if you haven't heard of them, you should have. But they're kind of an indie-ish band. They play really cool songs with really clever lyrics that are kind of different than your typical music, but it's amazing, and it's incredibly catchy and a lot of fun. And I gotta give a little bit of a disclaimer before I play this interview, because my Skype recorder messed up a little bit and somehow shifted my audio over top of his occasionally. So throughout the interview, you'll hear me talking over John Flansburgh, which I did not do, I'd like to point out, and I just want you to be aware of that. You can hear all of the interview if you listen closely, and it's totally fine, but it makes me sound like I'm terribly rude, which I'm not, I assure you. So here is the interview. It was a lot of fun. I'd like to thank John Flansburgh for hanging out with me for 20-some-odd minutes, and I hope you enjoy this. So here you go, John Flansburgh on the Super Cool Stuff Show. Okay, everybody, this week on the show I have a super special guest from the crazy awesome band. John Flansburgh is with me. Say hello to everybody.
Hey, hey.
So I guess to start out, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I found out about you. I mean, I've heard They Might Be Giants songs throughout my life, and I didn't realize it because you guys have been around throughout doing a lot of things. But the first time I really noticed who you were and connected you with your music was whenever you came on the Screensavers on Tech TV. And I was wondering if a lot of people find out about you in the most random of places, because you do a lot of random things like the TV theme to Malcolm in the Middle and The Daily Show and that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Well, it's very satisfying for me to hear about somebody finding out about the band that way, because I think that's one of the main reasons why we do things like that, is that, you know, people, you know, the way rock bands kind of are pushed through the culture has this very conventional thinking behind it. You know, people are like, you know, you do this, you open for this band on this tour, you do this, you know, you do a song with a video like this. And for a business that really prides itself on being rebellious, there's a lot of very orthodox thinking that goes into how bands are presented. And I guess, you know, for us, doing projects, doing any kind of side project like that is appealing on like a bunch of different levels. They're just fun to do because they're kind of insignificant. You know, they're just something you're doing in the moment. Oftentimes they have a little bit of a craft challenge to them. Like, you have to actually make something that works for somebody else or something else. And then, like, the final ultimate side effect is that there is a possibility that somebody's going to be intrigued by the sound and the ideas in the song and come back for more. And, for us, you know, we're not going to be in, like, the new faces column, you know, and they don't have an old faces column yet, so, and we're not superstars, so it's just, I don't know, it's a way for us to kind of keep it alive.
So one thing about you guys, you said that you categorize yourself as a rock band, and I kind of do too, but your sound is really different than a lot of other bands out there, and that's one interesting thing about some of the things you've done, like The Daily Show and stuff like that, is that it's really different than what you hear, but you can always tell that it's you guys. Like, if you, like, once you hear that it's you guys, you're like, yeah, I can hear that.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't know, you know, from the sound of, like, the orchestral cues of The Daily Show that it was, like, or some of the incidental music of Malcolm in the Middle that it's us. I mean, we're doing, you know, we're musicians, we're songwriters and arrangers, and, you know, we can do things in styles. So a lot of times, you know, we're actually, for that sort of outside stuff, we're hired because we can do a wide range of sort of, you know, musical styles in the most kind of, you know, generic sense. I like to think that we do them with some level of panache, but, you know, it's not, that's not necessarily what's being, people aren't asking for, you know, they might be Giants-ish stuff all the time when they hire us to do stuff.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. I don't know. I think of us as a rock band in the same way that I think of pop rock bands from the 60s as rock bands. You know, there was, you know, when I listen to, like, a Beatles album, there's a wide variety of rhythms in it. You know, like, they're doing different, you know, one song just is not necessarily relate that much to the previous song. Or even, I don't know, I mean, even Simon and Garfunkel, you know, it's like there are ideas in it that are similar, but, like, they approach the arrangements as if each song has got its own little construct. So I guess, you know, maybe a pop band would be a better title, but then it would make even less sense because we're not that popular.
Something else about your music that's very consistent is that the lyrics. Like, you guys always have incredibly clever lyrics that many times say nothing at all about anything. So is it a challenge to maintain, like, that level of cleverness in your songs?
Well, I guess yes. I mean, I think in our evolution, we actually feel like we've probably tried to simplify our things a little bit. You know, when you first start writing songs, you really, like, throw in the kitchen sink. But I don't know. I don't feel like that being clever it looms as large in our idea of what's right for this band as it does for the fans of the band or the audience for the band. I think people really, I mean, maybe that's what makes us look different, you know, stand out from the crowd, but to us, it's not the main event. That's kind of more the stuff that comes naturally to us, in a way. You know, it's just who we are. Too clever by half.
They're kind of clever, though, because if you told somebody there's a song out there that essentially just said that you're older by every second and it sounds really good, they'd be like, hang on a second. But you listen to it and it's a really good song, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, it's foreground music, you know, definitely it's, we got some head scratchers.
Speaking of head scratchers, I forget what album this is on, but you have, it's at the end of an album and it's like 30-some crazy tracks and they're each like less than 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That song is called Fingertips. It's on the end of Apollo 18. We're actually putting together a show for, like, the end of this week where we're going to be performing almost every song on Apollo 18. So that's one of the songs that's on the blocks. It was hard to learn the first time, but we've got it under our belts at this point. That song was put together. I remember talking to John about the jarring aspect of those, you know, 19 classic, you know, hits from the 50s, and I'll be like, all these different styles of music kind of jammed up right against each other in short blasts, and how, what a different kind of vibe that was. And, you know, John put the track together, and it was, you know, just kind of perfect in that way. Yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, we have a healthy sense of experimentation, you know, it's something that I think people can.
Speaking of experimentation, I read somewhere that you guys are working on two albums simultaneously right now, a children's album and a regular album.
Yeah, well, we did that. We made our last two albums at the same time, The Elf and Here Come the 1-2-3s. And right now we're working on the new children's album called Here Comes Science. And we'll be doing some rock project, you know, in very short order after that. We might do an EP or something, some kind, you know, something for adults sooner than later, just because we don't want it to just, like, you know, be off the radar screen for too long. But yeah, we've really, the kid stuff has been so successful, it's kind of become like a parallel career for us. It was not something that we intended on, and to be perfectly honest, like, you know, there's more than one part of doing kid stuff. There's, like, you know, the actual writing and recording. Then there's, like, the shows and the explaining. And, like, I really enjoy the writing and recording, but the shows and the explaining are a little bit more complicated. I don't think, you know, if you think of as a writer, such an interesting opportunity to be able to write stuff for kids. But I think being a children's entertainer is actually one of the hardest jobs in the world. And in a culture that is really into putting governors on what people can and can't do within one career, the idea of being dangerous rock band and being a kid's act is just too paradoxical for people to wrap their heads
around. At the same time, too, what I think is really cool is that your fans are so great, and your children's music is just as strong as your adult music, and most of your fans enjoy your...
Our fans are so great, and I do, I have to give our, you know, what the people I refer to as the front row in our audience a lot of respect for understanding, you know, that we're capable of doing more than one thing, and even appreciating it. You know, a lot of the kids' stuff has been very warmly received by people who don't have kids, you know, otherwise would be interested in kids' music. And that's actually very, very interesting and heartening to me because, you know, I think we were anticipating a lot of bad vibes from trying to stretch it out like that. And people seem to have rolled with it very, very well. Hey, so how long have you been doing this podcast? I'm just curious. Like, this is, you know, I love the world of podcasts, and I'm just wondering how you got...
Well,
got,
it's kind of a complicated question. I've been doing college radio for about 4 years now, and, you know, I've been interviewing bands for a while, and then I recently moved back home, like, for different reasons, and I want to keep doing interviews and stuff, and then I watched the Totally Rad Show, which is a show on Revision 3, and they, like, review entertainment stuff, and I was like, you know, I could do that. So then I was like, this seems pretty easy, and I could call up people from connections I already have to interview people, so that's where it all came from.
No, I think it's very cool. So what are you going to be reviewing in the near future? Let's talk about movies we haven't seen. Let's talk about television shows that aren't on
really
yet.
I'm excited about upcoming Doctor Who. I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan, but this past season was pretty amazing, and there's supposed to be 3 specials coming up, so I'm excited about that.
They're still making Doctor Who's?
It was, and then it got canceled in about the 80s.
Okay.
And then they brought it back in about 2004, I think. For a revival, so.
Wow. And the thing about Doctor Who is that they always had, there was
all
these
on
different Doctor Who's.
They're on the
one,
second
so
Doctor Who for this new run of it, but it's still considered the 10th Doctor Who overall, so.
Wow. Yeah, I'm the only thing I know about Doctor Who is people's love for the theme, and I don't even know the theme, but it's just like it's always being referenced.
To be honest, it's
like,
one of those things
yeah,
that I could have
like
totally heard you guys
Doctor
doing
Who.
If you were around back then.
I don't even know it.
So.
Yeah, I think Doctor Who is held in very, very high regard in the UK, and you know I know a lot of Brits and Irish, and everybody loves Doctor Who. They talk about it like, you know, Sesame Street. You know, it's just like
it's. And it's actually on the Sci-Fi Channel now here in America. So if you haven't seen it, you know you can catch up on it there.
Yeah.
So do you watch a lot of TV yourself, just casually?
Oh, I love the TV. I just got the DVDs of Mad Men, which has been kind of been our little obsession for the last like week and a half, you know, watching, kind of working our way through that series of stuff because we didn't really get, you know, didn't see enough of it in the first season. And that's just, that's an interesting series to see. I mean, there's things about it that are vaguely, you know, there's like flashback sequences that are vaguely annoying because it, you know, kind of has that under HBO series thing. But in general, the styling of the show is just fascinating to watch. It really just reminds me of my earliest childhood memories. You know, just it's like such a different world. You know, it just seems like a completely unimaginably shiny, clean world. And I don't know, the sexual politics of the show is also just...
So how did the screensavers thing happen? Were you guys like, did you like it, or were they big fans, or?
Oh, you know, the screensavers thing was the producer. I guess we were just hanging out and we were talking to the producer of the show, and it just happened. It was very, it was pretty low key. We've actually just been asked to do a thing for a. Now this is like a classic assignment for us to do a theme for an online site that is for fans of a video game called
World of Warcraft.
Weapons of Warcraft? Is that what it's called? It's like this World of Warcraft, which is, you know, evidently the one third of the, you know, of the males between the age of, you know, 12 and 18 are currently playing right now. And and I have no idea what it is. And so they want us to do a theme for this thing, you know, and it's just a, you know, a friendly gesture, you know, the guys into the band and thought we'd be interested in doing it. And I am kind of interested in doing it, but it's like, I also kind of have no idea what the thing is, you know. I mean, I assume it's sort of a shooter game kind of thing, right? I'm not sure, you know, what, when I think about, like, doing kid stuff, and then I think about doing theme to, you know, Weapons of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft is actually a lot more like EverQuest, if you've ever heard of that. Like, it's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game where, like, everybody is in the same world playing together. And then, like, you know, you go on missions and you gain experience points, all that kind of stuff. So it's not really a shooter, per se.
Yeah, see, I stepped off the the video game thing around Ms. Pac-Man. So, you know, I climbed back on momentarily for Tetris, and I recently bought a Hangman game for my iPhone.
So you're pretty much on the
iPhone.
Cusp of gaming news, it sounds
that's
like.
That's my life in video games. Yeah, yeah. So I'm not really up to date. So, but...
Yeah.
I assume there's a lot of killing, right? Well, that's the important thing.
All right, so as much as I'm loving this conversation, I wish I could go on all day, I've got to wrap this up. So if, for some reason, people have been living under a rock and no clue who I'm talking to right now, how can people find out more about you guys?
Well, They Might Be Giants has a free audio podcast that you can get on iTunes, just like this kind of podcast. You know, it's like, so if you obviously people listening to us now are already open-minded and adventurous enough to be checking out podcasts, and that's a pretty good introduction to what we're doing. And, you know, beyond that, you know, we're probably coming to your town sometime in the next year, and we've got a pretty smoking band that we've been working with for a long time. It's very married men of They Might Be Giants, and you know, we're just doing our thing. Of course, we have albums out, and we want to remind people that CDs are for sale somewhere. You know, we're just going to keep on doing our thing and you know, figure out how to make that Warcraft theme work. I want to figure out a way to make the Warcraft theme be like a, you know, has some anti-war sentiment hidden deep inside it. I don't know if that would go over big with them, but
all right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been a great interview, and I wish you guys the best of luck.
Hey, thank you.
Recommendations. So first off, I'd like to thank all of you guys for sitting through that convoluted mess that was this incredible interview that was tons of fun with John Flansburgh. But like I said, my recorder got messed up, so towards the end, if you noticed, you may have been able to understand what was going on if you were very clever. But if you're not, I apologize. It was a little crazy. My audio, as I said earlier, was a little before his, especially towards the end. And that's what that was. So if you want to go back knowing that, you maybe understand what's going on. But otherwise, it's just a mess, and I apologize. But it's time for my recommendation. And in honor of interviewing John Flansburgh of The Might Be Giants, I'm going to recommend one of my favorite kid shows of all time. And that is The Weekenders. It was a show on the Disney Channel about four friends in, like, middle school-ish. We follow them on the weekends, and they are very distinctive characters, and that was probably the coolest part about it. And the voices were amazing, all that kind of stuff. And it was a great show about the lives of kids growing up, the different things they go through. And it has this great perspective on life that you don't see in a lot of shows these days, especially kids' shows. And it had a very, like, sarcastic tone to it, which you especially don't see in kids' shows these days. So it's rarely, if ever, on the Disney Channel anymore. You can't catch it on YouTube. It's The Weekenders. It's an awesome show, like I said, probably my favorite kid show of all time. But that is it for this episode of the Super Cool Stuff Show. Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank, again, John Flansburgh for stopping by. He was a great interview. And if you can understand what happened in the interview, you are a better person than I am, and you are much smarter. But that's it for now. I'd like to encourage all of you to subscribe to this podcast. If you liked the interview with John Flansburgh and the other content in this podcast, that's the kind of stuff I do pretty regularly. There's just a link on the webpage to subscribe to it. You can subscribe with iTunes, Winamp, whatever you use to subscribe to stuff with. or to listen to audio with, it's right there. Also, if you like the idea of me doing things and making this more of a video podcast occasionally, and going out there and doing things, going to events, that kind of stuff, I encourage you to donate to my podcast. There's a donate button on the page, and all the money that I get for my podcast will go exclusively to the podcast. I won't be using it for any of my personal stuff, exclusively to the podcast. So if you just want to make this better, support podcasting, donate away, and I would appreciate it greatly. It's going to go right back to you if you like this. So that's all for now. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back in next week, maybe two. All right, bye, you guys.